Welcome to the Women's Wellness Psychiatry Podcast. I'm so glad you're here. I'm your host, Anna Glazer, MD, a reproductive and integrative psychiatrist here to help you make sense of the complex world of women's mental health. If your goal is to improve your emotional well-being, find fulfillment, and feel like your best self, you're in the right place. Welcome, my listener friends. In this episode, we're going to be talking about a long overdue topic, the question of what is integrative psychiatry. Before we dive into that, I just want to remind you that if you're enjoying this podcast, to please take a moment right now to review the podcast and drop a rating, and to please share it with anyone else who you think would enjoy it. Share it with your best friend, share it with family members, share it with colleagues and coworkers. I would love to spread this information so that others can benefit from the content. So, integrative psychiatry, what is it? Well, I'm a certified integrative psychiatrist, and I obtained that training actually back several years ago because a number of my patients were actually asking a lot about various kinds of treatment modalities, treatment options that fell into the realm of holistic mental health care and integrative mental health. And so I wanted to get some additional training, and now I want to share with you what integrative psychiatry means to me. Integrative psychiatry is the integration of all of the different aspects of mental health treatment into comprehensive plans and into comprehensive assessments of where symptoms might be coming from. It involves taking a look at the biological. That might be medications, it might be supplements, it might be nutraceuticals and botanicals. The psychological and the spiritual, thinking about things like therapy, mindfulness, meditation, group support. Thinking about lifestyle aspects, that's a nutritional psychiatry, given the gut-brain connection, ecotherapy, complementary treatment options, such as acupuncture, light box therapy, physical activity, and also considering, really, really strongly considering, support systems and the role of routine, structure, and habit building. What do I mean when I describe all of these aspects? It might be most helpful if we actually use a case example. Let me describe a patient of mine, and this is actually a description that describes many different patients in my clinic, and it might actually describe you as well. So let's start with that. A 35-year-old woman who comes to see me postpartum because she's struggling with anxiety. And maybe she had some anxiety in the past, back in college, and perhaps some mild depression around stressful life events, like a breakup in her 20s. She's having trouble sleeping, breastfeeding is a challenge. She's feeling overwhelmed and really like she just can't keep up. How is integrative psychiatry going to be helpful for this particular type of patient? What we start with is looking at all of the different contributors and root causes of this patient's anxiety from an integrative perspective. Here's all of the different components, and this is not necessarily all inclusive. We start with hormonal. This patient is postpartum. And we know that postpartum, there's a precipitous drop in hormones around the time of delivery. That drop can be very destabilizing from a mood, anxiety, and mental health perspective. Then we have genetic. Perhaps this patient's mother is prone to anxiety. Then we have the role of sleep deprivation. Of course, postpartum, there's a lot of sleep deprivation, and that plays a role in mental health. It's important to take a look at what is the support system like for this particular patient. Does she have help at home? Is her spouse available to help? Are there family members available? Is there paid support? What do her treaters, her treating clinicians look like? What is that team? What is her support system like? What's her nutrition? Does she even have time to eat in between taking care of a new infant? Is she eating things that are healthy and nutritious, or really just whatever is easy to grab? Is she able to spend any time outdoors or be physically active? And then we also take a look at some of the psychological predispositions that this particular woman might have towards anxiety. A really common one is perfectionism. What are her expectations for herself? Another common one is this concept of self-worth. How does she define whether or not she's worthy as a person, as a human, and as a mother? And how that relates to a lot of thoughts of guilt or self-blame, which are very common in a lot of the postpartum moms with whom I work. We start by taking a look at all of these different contributors and potential root causes of this patient's anxiety. And then we work to create a treatment plan that is also comprehensive. It might include a low dose of an anti-anxiety medication, and we'd have a conversation about the safety of taking medications while breastfeeding. And if you're interested in learning more about the reproductive safety of medications, I would ask you to take a look and listen to episodes 22 and 36, which talk about this particular topic. Maybe she would benefit from taking a magnesium supplement to improve her sleep quality and to help with anxiety. There's a lot more on magnesium in episode 21. Then there's the hormonal component. What particular birth control is this patient currently using? Does that impact her mental health? We take a look at the family history piece. If her mother had anxiety, what helped her mother? Are there things that we could learn from that experience? Then we take a look at the psychological pillar. Psychotherapy for this particular patient, given that she's postpartum and struggling with anxiety, cognitive behavioral therapy might be particularly helpful. It could target some of those negative thoughts, like I'm a bad mother. And in therapy, taking a look at the evidence for those kinds of thoughts and reviewing her definition of what a mother is and what it means to be a good mom. She might benefit from something like an MBSR class. That's a mindfulness-based stress reduction class. There's a lot of those offered online these days. And we talk about a plan for her nutrition, thinking about the role of protein to maintain her energy during the day and how to eat a balanced, perhaps plant-based diet to avoid the roller coaster of the ups and downs of processed sugar and flour. We would also discuss time outside, walking outside for physical activity, but also for the sunlight in order to help boost her vitamin D levels. And super important, we would talk about her support systems and asking for help, thinking about what are the obstacles to asking for help. Some common obstacles to asking for help include fear of rejection. Is the person that you're asking for help, are they going to say no? And one way to overcome that particular obstacle is to put yourself in the other person's shoes. When you have a lot on your plate and you decline to help someone, it really has nothing to do with that person. It has to do with what's currently on your plate. And so reversing that role, if someone declines to help you, it likely has nothing to do with you. Another obstacle to asking for help is often this fear that you're going to be a burden on the other person. What do we do with that? Well, it's remembering that it's the responsibility of the person of whom you're asking for help to say whether or not they're able to assist you. And remember, the person that you're asking for help from often does get something from helping you, just like you get something from helping another person. If it's a friend or a family member or a loved one, you get a sense of feeling like you really helped this person who you care about. It's a positive feeling. It's a positive experience. And so by asking for help, you give them the opportunity to feel positive in that way. And by asking, of course, as opposed to telling them, you're giving them the opportunity to say no and to know when they do or don't have the capacity to be able to help you. Remembering those things can help reduce the chance of you fearing that you might be a burden when you're asking for help. And then finally, the third obstacle to asking for help is the quote unquote shoulds, this idea of I should be able to do this on my own. When a patient tells me that, my response is from a place of curiosity. Well, why should you do it on your own? Where does that expectation come from? And we work together to release that kind of expectation. So asking for help and growing your support system. And that support system could include family help. It could include a lactation consultant. For this particular patient that we're talking about, she had some challenges with breastfeeding, and a lactation consultant who is mindful of mental health can be really valuable. And if you have the financial means, potentially some paid support to assist either during the daytime or at nighttime. It really is all about creating a village postpartum. When we think about the treatment plan, it comes from this holistic integrative place where you look at all of these different treatment modalities and you put them together. That's what integrative psychiatry is about. It's looking at all the different contributors and then creating a comprehensive treatment plan. It is important to recognize, to just make note, that it's different from integrated psychiatry. Integrated psychiatry is when you have this collaborative care model where psychiatry and other kinds of medical specialties are working together. For example, I used to work at an integrated psychiatry clinic where the psychiatry, the mental health, was embedded inside an OBGYN department. So that's integrated mental health, which is different from integrative psychiatry. What I do is this combination of reproductive and integrative psychiatry. And the reproductive piece refers to women across the reproductive lifespan, whether we're talking about pregnancy, postpartum, challenging fertility journeys, premenstrual symptoms, perimenopause, anything across the reproductive lifespan of a woman. And using the integrative psychiatry approach for assessment and treatment. Now, it can be hard to find integrative psychiatry, and part of that is because of the limitations often imposed by insurance companies or large medical centers, because this kind of integrative and holistic care takes time, and many insurance companies want patients seen very quickly. Now, if you're a clinician, and this sounds appealing, this idea of being able to treat the whole patient from this multimodal type of approach, I would encourage you to consider looking into integrative psychiatry training options. One thing to note for the future is coming up, I'm launching a fellowship in integrative and reproductive psychiatry, that combination. The reason for this episode is to share with everyone what integrative psychiatry means, the reason it's important, the way that we look at a person from a multimodal, multiple root cause kind of approach and treat them similarly using multiple different treatment tools and looking at all of the different aspects that go into mental health. Mental health is more than just medications. It really is treating the whole person from the biological, the psychological, the lifestyle, all of these different pillars. If this sounds appealing to you as a patient, I would, as hard as it is, see if there might be an integrative psychiatrist, mental health clinician available to help you with your mental health concerns. Thanks for joining me for this week's episode. As you know, my goal is to share with you the most helpful information that moves you towards emotional well-being. If you have suggestions or questions, I'd love to hear those. And I also always appreciate a rating that will help others find this valuable content. I'm looking forward to connecting with you again next week. Please note that while I am a clinical doctor, this podcast is not a substitute for nor should be taken as medical advice. No specific health advice is being given on this podcast, and no physician-client relationship is created by you listening to this podcast. All information provided on this podcast is for informational purposes only.